laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street.
What's up, Degenerate Nation? Welcome to Gen and Juice, episode 16, week 11, part 2. I'm Stucky, and with me, as always, is Colin Wilson. I'm assuming coming to us live from the couch as you try to recover from Lambo.
Yeah, we are coming back from Blackout Central. I had enough spotted cow to last me for years, and then Vegas bombs at Stadium View, and ate all the food I could at Aunt Doozy's, ate all the food I could at the tailgate. And even in my drunken blackout sober inside of Lambeau, I still knew the down and distance better than Brett Hundley did as he played.
Yeah, I mean, he's been awful. You don't see him mentioned. You'll see a lot of the polls, you know, the kind of the joke polls, who's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now. And you'll see, you know, C.J. Beathard and names like that. But you won't see, and obviously you'll see Brock Osweiler, but you'll never see his name mentioned, I think, because people's perception of a Packers quarterback is they can't really be bad, and the backup's just going to come in and be Rodgers. But I mean, he's been really bad, and granted, he's really young. But the Lions looked a lot better. A quick plug on the NFL piece that we just put out on the Sports Action app. As a conglomerate, as the Action Network, we put together mid-season awards. They cover, you know, individual performances, betting-based stuff, and then also fantasy-based stuff as well. One of the things that I did for the article was the Moose of the Year, which was the Chiefs-Redskins game. And then I also covered three undervalued teams going forward. And I actually mentioned my Ravens. I've been down on them, but there's a few reasons I gave in that piece why I think they're undervalued and will have a strong against the spread second half. I also mentioned and part of that is because Woodhead's coming back, which is going to be huge to that offense, and they already have a top three defense and special teams unit. The Chargers are on that list as well. You know, the Chargers have probably the best pass rushing duo in the NFL, and elite corners. Their secondary's been awesome. You know, they have Rivers and a good set of receivers and Gordon in the backfield. Their biggest, you know, I guess the biggest weakness would be their rush defense, but they get Denzel Perryman back, that linebacker, this week. He comes off IR, which is huge for not only that whole defense, but especially their rush defense. And you got to remember, they started 0-2. They should have been 2-0. The kid who's no longer on their team missed two field goals. Their other three losses are to the Chiefs, Eagles, and Patriots, and they were in every one of those games. So a very misleading 3-5. And then the other team I have was the Lions. Well, the Lions are 4-4. Very misleading 4-4. All of their wins have come by an average, I think all of them by double digits, but an average of about 11.5 points. And you have to remember, they have two losses to the Steelers, a game I have no idea how they still lost, and then the Falcons at home, and they got robbed of that game. They really should be 6-2, to be honest. A lot of their problems have come in the red zone, and you know, a lot of that's due to their offensive line, which is ranked 32nd against the rush. Stafford's been sacked, you know, more than any other quarterback besides Brissett. Well, they get their left tackle back this week, Taylor Decker. They also will get Kenny Galladay back, a receiver who his size will help in the red zone. So I think their red zone woes, and which haven't been a problem in years past, and they're 27th in the NFL this year, are going to start to subside, and I think the Lions are going to make a run. So check out that piece. That's just a quick plug for three teams that I'm going to be looking to back going forward. So tell us, what was the do you have any funny Lambeau stories?
Nothing that should be out in public. I mean, I got to high five Susie Kobler. She walked off the set and got on the bike and went over in. I had a Lions fan throw up next to me. He didn't know who Golden Tate was. That's probably all that I want to share in a public, you know, PG-13 type.
Did you try to kiss her?
No, I did. At that point, I didn't have enough alcohol. I smelled more like bratwurst than I did Vegas bombs. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess if you didn't try to kiss her, then you were more well behaved than some others we've seen in the past.
I can see why Namath wanted to kiss her, though. She was fantastic.
You got a thing for Susie Kobler?
Okay. I think I do now. There might be some sort of high five crush now with Susie Kobler. It was impressive high five. Very strong.
Okay. And then is Lambeau the best stadium you've ever been to watch a game?
For football, I've been to probably 10 stadiums in the NFL, and Lambeau and Arrowhead by far are the wildest, passionate fan bases, It's more R-rated at Arrowhead. It's more family-oriented at Lambeau. But to me, they're the best ones out of all of them that I've been to.
Yeah, I would say the best stadium I've ever been to, period, is the Palestra, the mecca for college basketball in Philly. I've been to about, I think, 12 or 13, I think maybe more, NFL stadiums. And I've never been to Lambeau, but the loudest I've ever been to was Arrowhead. And it's the only stadium I've ever been thrown out of. I think I've told you this story before, but it was back when D'Angelo Hall was returning every single kick for a touchdown. And the Ravens somehow took the lead with Kyle. It was when Kyle Bowler was the quarterback. They took the lead late, and I started cheering. And I know how to behave on the road, but I just started clapping. You don't be obnoxious. You take what people say. But this guy turned around and threw a beer at me, and I'm like, all right,
there we go. Guy. Yep.
So then I think there was like under 2 minutes to go. I mean, this is, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was when I was in college. I think it was longer, and we're kicking off to, I'll never forget this. We're kicking off and I'm like, oh God, Dante Hill's going to return us for a touchdown. We kick it off. We tackle him, but we were off sides. They make us re-kick. And I knew he was going to take it to the house, and he did. So, then this guy turns around after he returned it to the house and he spits at me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I took my beer, I took my like half beer that I had and threw it at him. And then everyone was like, this guy. And then I got thrown out. But it was good I got out of there then when I did. But other than that, everyone was really nice. They were sharing barbecue.
Yeah, as the visiting fan, like, see, my buddy Hayden and I, who some people on Twitter may know, we went to the Packers-Cowboys playoff game down at Cowboys Stadium in full Packers gear. And, I mean, we're not small children either. I mean, Hayden's bigger than I am, and we were getting pushed, had some threats thrown our way, and we never said anything, kept our mouths shut. And the Rodgers comeback and the Jared Cook and the everything that went down with the Packers winning, we were just trying to find anybody, any Cowboys fan to give us a high five on the way out, and nobody would give it to us.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right, so let's get into some college. We have a epic weekend. So there's 7 games this weekend where two ranked teams are playing each other. The number 1, 2, and 3 teams in the college football playoff rankings, Alabama, Georgia, and Notre Dame, are all on the road against top 16 teams. Then you also have TCU, Oklahoma. Someone's being essentially eliminated there. So there's a lot of great games this weekend, which we'll start to dive into. We also have college basketball starting on Friday. And, besides tennis, women's tennis, it's my favorite sport to bet and watch. And so let me ask you, so check out all of our previews there. We just put a futures piece out, and we'll have that covered from head to toe throughout the year. Shout to Jordan for his help there. But let me ask you a trivia question. I'll put you on the spot, Colin. There are 5 teams that are starting the year in college basketball in the AP top 25 that are also in the AP top 25 in college football. Can you name them?
It's not Kentucky.
Good job.
It's not Kansas. It's
not BYU.
All right. Well, Michigan State, Arizona. They get Arizona.
Arizona's right, not. Arizona's actually dropped out of the football. Michigan State is one, correct. I'll give you get three X's. You have 1 X.
All right. So we'll keep going with this theme. I have no clue if Clemson has a good team anymore. They made a good run there at the end of the year last year. I'll go with Clemson. Did they return any players this year?
I mean, they returned a lot, but they lost Blossom game, and they're not going to be good.
They got hot at the end of the season.
They lost a ton of close games last year, but they lost Blossom game. But 2 X's.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's correct. Notre Dame's correct.
I get one more. I'm probably going to strike out here. Let's go with Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is incorrect. Damn. So the 5 that are in both are Notre Dame and Michigan State, as you covered. Miami is actually in there, your favorite team, your new favorite team. USC is actually in both, and your national champion Northwestern Wildcats are entered the AP top 25 in college football and are in the college basketball top 25.
That was Wisconsin basketball, not in the top 25. That shocks me.
Yeah, it's going to be a down year for Wisconsin compared to what they've seen in years past. So let's get into the part two of the Degen and Juice podcast. For any new listeners out there, we do it in four segments. The first is look ahead or look away. We'll go through some of the best situational spots the weekend. FC, yes or no, we can bring that back this week. There's only one game, but I wanted to bring that back because, you know, it's been a successful segment this year, and we're about to get into a lot more in upcoming weeks of FCS versus FBS matchups. Then we'll run down the top 25 teams that we didn't cover in any of those aforementioned segments, and then we'll finish with a three and out. So I'll have two questions for Colin on first and second down, and then we'll finish up with a moneyline underdog parlay, and then we'll sign off here. So let's get into the look ahead or look away segment. And the first spot that I have here is Michigan, trying to gauge how much motivation they really have at Maryland. They are back in the discussion for the Big Ten to win their division and to go through. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there with the Big Ten because everyone is tied or one game back. But Michigan essentially needs Penn State to lose another game, you know, mm-hmm. unless complete chaos unfolds, which is not likely. I mean, Penn State has one of the easiest schedules. They have Rutgers, Nebraska, and Maryland to finish up. So, you know, Michigan's now in the discussion for the Big Ten East, but it's really not likely. They go down to Maryland. They're laying over two touchdowns. I believe that line's around 15.5. They're at Wisconsin on deck, and Maryland lost to Michigan last year 59-3. So I'm assuming they're going to be motivated here. What are you seeing in this game?
That's funny because the DJ Durkin thing last year, I remember that being a big angle last year that, you know, him coming from the Harbaugh school, the family tree of coaching, that there would be some sort of thing where, you know, it wouldn't get out of hand. But here we are 59-3 last year. So if anybody's capping with that angle, that kind of went out the window last year. So I make the game two TDs and S&P Plus makes it 10. So I definitely think that there's value in the number. Maryland has a lot of advantages in rushing explosiveness. They're 21st in the country to Michigan's 111th, which surprises a lot of people. But we used this in an angle a couple weeks ago in the CW9 is that Michigan does have an S&P Plus top 10 defense, but they have a little thread that they have a problem with. And that is that somebody can bust something on the ground at any time. Everything else about their defense is great, but they have been known to give up big runs, and that's just what Maryland does. Now, Bortenschlager is questionable, so I'm a little need to do some digging about, you know, who's going to be playing quarterback and if this is something I want to invest in. But for me, the side is going to be Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to come down to as long as Maryland's rush defense can be competent. I don't think that Michigan's going to be really motivated for this game, but they beat Minnesota last week 33-10. They had 50 yards passing, Michigan did. I mean, they ran for 370 yards and then they threw for 50. You know, they really can't move the ball through the air. And I think Maryland can stay within that number, given the status of Bortenschlager and if their run defense can hold up. The other spot that I have here, and this is a game that I already played, in Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt is a 2.5 to 3 point home favorite over Kentucky. Vanderbilt does have revenge here in this spot. Kentucky's only won three road SEC games this decade, including their first road game of the season earlier in the year against South Carolina. Here's the thing. Kentucky's coming off that heartbreaking loss against Ole Miss at the, you know, in the final seconds, essentially the last play. And they're at Georgia on deck. Kentucky's in a bowl. You know, they're already bowl eligible. Vanderbilt, pretty, you know, they need this game for bowl eligibility. I think the motivation is there. And I think it's a good situational spot to fade the Cats. What do you think here?
Yeah, you named it all off. We're going to get into bowl motivation a lot with these games, especially the next couple of weeks, because it means everything. You can ask teams like Miami of Ohio, teams, you know, a lot of teams that are trying to get to that six mark. So you hit the nail on the head here. Kentucky is bowl eligible, 6-3. They're out of the East race. Tough one to come off of. Vanderbilt 4-5. They're motivated to get to a bowl. My power numbers make this 4.5. S&P Plus makes it 5. So you're getting value on the 2.5 right now. So I like it.
Good to hear. The next spot that I have here is Florida International. They actually have made the list. They're laying 9.5 at home against Old Dominion. The thing is they have Florida Atlantic on deck, which I believe will have big implications in that, in their division. Are you seeing anything in this game to back the Monarchs?
I'm excited about the Butch and Lane showdown that's coming up. So Old Dominion hasn't covered this in the covered this series at all in the last 3 years. They struggled to put Charlotte away, but if you look into some box scores for FIU a month ago, they had a problem putting Charlotte away too. Florida Internationals, they've graded really well in passing success rate, and that's the one place where you can expose ODU and put up a pretty big number. So for me, I think the number's too high. I make it 4.5, and ESPN FPI, if you look at that, they make it 6. So I'm not rushing to grab Old Dominion, but you know, for me, it's the side if I had to play it.
Okay, and the last spot I have here, I'm waiting for your blessing on this. I'm a huge fan of backing SMU because I love that. I think they're the best receiving group in the country. But Navy is laying 4.5. I believe that's ticking down to 4 within the last half hour against SMU. Navy has Notre Dame on deck, and Navy, SMU has revenge from last year when they lost 75-31. I'm assuming SMU will be able to throw on Navy. What do you see here?
Yeah. I lean with Navy on this side, actually, because SMU has major advantages in offensive explosiveness. And I knew they, we both knew last week they'd be able to keep up with Central Florida. Sorry to the Central Florida fan that was chewing Stuckey and I's ass out last week on Twitter. But, you know, neither team here is under pressure to win a bowl. But SMU is 1-9 in this series, and they've only covered twice in the last 10 games. And more specifically, with Chad Morris, you know, being the head coach, Navy has put up 75 last year. They put up 55 the year before. So Navy's just had their way with SMU for a very long time, not just in a short span. SMU has a little bit of overlook to Memphis. I know Navy has the whole Notre Dame thing going on, but SMU has a chance to knock off Memphis and then go probably to UCF for the AAC championship. But there's a really weird thing going on between SMU and Memphis and Houston. They're all in a round robin where they all beat each other. So I'm not really sure who's going to come out of it, but you know, SMU has overlook as well. So I don't know what the tiebreaker rules are, but I think the overlook applies just as much to SMU.
Yeah, but SMU doesn't get there if they lose the Navy, who's in their same division.
Right. I'm playing both sides of that. Yeah, I don't have a pick in this. I'm not playing either side. I'm saying that they both have overlook, and Navy's own this series, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think Navy's going to get whatever they want on the ground, and I think that SMU I don't think they'll punt. I mean, as long as they don't drop passes like they did at the end of UCF, and they have elite receivers, they have 3 of them.
Navy's just amazing with their quarterbacks. I mean, even last week when they're losing to Temple by like 50 or something, you know, Zach Abbey goes out and they plug in another quarterback, some guy we've never even heard of, and he rattles off 2 touchdowns in a row. I think last year they went through 3 quarterbacks in one game and they were still scoring 50 points. So Navy's quarterback situation always amazes me.
Yeah, I mean, that's all coaching. That's like it's discipline and reps and dedication, which you would expect a team like a Service Academy team to have. Okay, I'm almost positive I'll be on that game, and I'll either be on SMU or the over or both. I think it shatters. I think SMU scores at will, and I think Navy does as well. But let's get into the second segment, which is FC yes or no. I'm not sure if I'll put my FCS streak on the line in this one, but we have Maine at UMass. I'm going to look. I tend to always look at the FCS team, but this game's being played in Fenway. Maine is 4-4 on the year, but their losses, they're pretty good. Their losses are to New Hampshire, ranked, Delaware. Mm-hmm. That was at home last week. They actually played that game. For those that don't know, University of Maine, I believe, is in Orono, Maine, which is in the middle of nowhere in Maine. But they played that game in Portland, which is the population center in southern Maine, which is like, you know, a couple hours away from their school. But they lost to Delaware in a home game, in quotes, last week. They also lost to Villanova, ranked, and JMU, number one in the country. So their 4 losses are to ranked FCS teams. UMass is coming off that tough loss at Miss State where they really battled. Both their quarterbacks are questionable, but I read today that they both are going to be available this week. I'll be looking for Maine in the points, but not in a rush to bet this one. Do you see anything here?
No, you're right. Maine is a 4-4, and like I went and checked Sagarin earlier today because it's one of the few places I can get an FCS to FBS crossover in power ratings. And their spread was 8.5. So, you know, it's sitting on 8.5 at 5 dimes. The only notable thing is that Andrew Ford is probable, but not sure if that affects the point spread at all, because obviously, you know, Comus had no problems beating Mississippi State at the half and giving them a hell of a time last week.
Yeah, Isabella went off. Yeah, I'll be looking at Maine. And what was the number you said there for this on the Sagarin?
The Sagarin was 8.5, and 5 dimes. 5 dimes, just for those of you who don't know, I don't think 5 dimes actually keeps a list of FCS, because they always release the FCS FBS games at almost exactly what the USA Today Sagarin ratings are. It's. I think that's their algorithm, to tell you the truth. It's always the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I was hoping to get double digits. Maybe we'll get it. But keep your eye out there on the six-pack to see if an FCS school shows up, which will come out Saturday. And another plug will be for Collins CW9, which had another great week last week. And that will be coming out on Friday, as it does each week, which includes 9 games that Colin really likes on the Saturday college football card. Just to tease a few of them, Notre Dame at Miami and TCU Oklahoma. Look out for those games on that. But let's get into the top 25 rundown, some of the other games. And we'll start with Sparty at Ohio State. Ohio State is laying, and this line's moving all over the place, but it's in a dead range between 14.5 and 16. Keep in mind, remember Michigan State last year almost spoiled Ohio State's season, and they went for 2, and they lost 17-16. They didn't get it towards the end of the year. I don't know if you saw D'Antoni's response when he was asked about them being 15-point underdogs, which is pretty funny. But do you see any angle here, the Ohio State party?
You know, I have the game at 16.5 myself, which I released Sunday morning coffee, and I was doing those lines at about midnight after, I guess, about the same time USC and Arizona were wrapping up. And I remember seeing this line at 16.5, and you know, I was really happy that Sparty won and made us some money, especially on the money line last week. And I stared at that 16.5. I said, that can't be the number. I mean, this I must have swapped out Michigan State with Michigan in my power ratings. But sure enough, sure shit, that's what I had it, and that's what it was released at on Bet Online. So, you know, the Buckeyes had 4 turnovers in Kinnick. Their defensive line was atrocious. It's the worst that they've played all year. They didn't show any of the flashes that they had in the Penn State game to get into the game. They're still very undisciplined. Like I said before in the CW9, or maybe even on this pod, that, you know, they rank 125th in the nation in penalties, you know, but they're still number one in the nation in third down percentage. So it's a really hard team to gauge. When they play the way they're supposed to, they play better than anybody in the nation. And then when they're, you know, when they play undisciplined and unorganized football, anybody can beat them. They can lose by, you know, 30 to Iowa. So Michigan State's 6th in the country in time of possession, and Lewerke's actually been a really great quarterback the last couple of weeks. He's been a third down machine. He's been hitting explosive plays. You know, so the place where Michigan State can be beat is on passing downs, and the rush defense is the best in the nation. So if Ohio State is going to win this game, it's going to be JT Barrett through the air. And I went and looked at last year's box score. They shut him down through the air last year. It was pretty pathetic performance, but he did have 100 yards rushing on the ground. So if Ohio State's going to win, JT Barrett's going to have to show the skills that he's got by passing the ball.
Yeah, and keep in mind that if Ohio State wins this game and they're, you know, laying over 2 touchdowns, they're pretty much in the driver's seat. We're almost guaranteed to see a Ohio State-Wisconsin Big Ten championship. If you're a Michigan fan, like I said before, you actually are rooting for Ohio State for one of those rare times here. And then you need to root for Penn State to lose another game, because then you get Ohio State at the end of the year, and then at home. And then if you win that game and Penn State loses another game and Michigan State loses this week, you can then win the tiebreaker. A lot has to happen, but just an interesting tidbit. Next game I have here is interesting to see what happens with Oklahoma State's psyche after that loss last week. You would assume they're pretty much done now for a playoff spot. They're at Iowa State. Iowa State here opened, I believe, as a 7-point underdog, ticked down to 6.5. Oak State won this game last year 38-31 after they scored 17 unanswered in the fourth quarter at home. Iowa State coming off that loss against West Virginia. What do you see here with the Clones at home in Ames catching 6.5-ish?
So, I knew whatever happened to them last weekend. I knew that my first initial thought was, I've got to take a first half under next week. This is a sleepy 11 a.m. kick. We've got two teams that just lost. Huge gate. It's Iowa State's team. They finally ran out of gas at West Virginia. Oklahoma State, on the other hand, it was... ended up losing by 10. It didn't even lose by 3 because of that what happened in the last minute. So I'm kind of looking. I'm looking for a 31 or more, and I'd like to take a first half under on this, just on the angle that it's going to be 37 degrees. It's going to be 15 mile an hour crosswinds. It's going to be 11 o'clock in the morning for two teams that should be completely deflated. My total makes it 61, and it's actually sitting at 62 right now. So I will wait for first half to line to come out. And I mean, I'm even considering putting it in the CW9, which I've had a couple first halves in there before, do well with the totals. But I do think it's a real, spot and where they, it'll take them a while to get revved up. On the side, I make this an 8-point game. S&P Plus makes this a 5-point game, and there's no advantages in the efficiency or explosiveness department. I do like Matt Campbell, as the better coach here over Gundy. And I don't think he'll be in Ames next year. I hope he's not already distracted. I'm sure his agent's already getting phone calls, and I hope he's not distracted, because I would really love to see them push through and get to Arlington this year.
Okay. And then just to keep in mind that the winner of this game, the loser of this game is eliminated, right? From any playoff contention. The winner has an outside shot, right?
I think Oklahoma State is completely out of it, because their two losses are to TCU and Oklahoma. And that means they lose the tiebreakers to those two. And I think TCU would have to lose two or Oklahoma would have to lose two to get them in.
Yeah, I meant for the, I said the college football, but I meant for the Big 12 championship. Yeah, I mean, for the playoff, there's an elimination game between Oklahoma and TCU, and you'll cover that on CW9. The loser of that game is pretty much out for the college football playoff. The interesting thing is the winner of that game, you can pretty much assume is going to be in the Big 12 championship. But then we could have a six-way tie? We could have a six-way tie for second place. I don't even want those tiebreakers. But then it's a mess. The loser of that game will drop into the, with Oklahoma State, Iowa State, West Virginia, Kansas State, and Texas, which are all within one game of each other.
I tweeted this out last March. They released how they're going to determine the number two seed, and it goes down to a freaking paper draw. They're going to have each AD submit a piece of paper with the name of a school that's not their school as to who should win the tiebreaker between all the two lost teams.
Wow. That's insane. I know. That's so Big 12. That's ridiculous. All right, well, let's get into the next game here. This is Iowa, Wisconsin. So Wisconsin is laying 12.5-ish at home. Last year they won this game 17-9. I would assume it'll be just as ugly this year. I know that I was coming off that explosion against Ohio State. I doubt they duplicate that here in Madison. What are you seeing here with Iowa, Wisconsin?
I'm definitely going to take Wisconsin. It's definitely on the cusp of making the CW9. Iowa should be on a hangover mode after obliterating Ohio State. They go on the road now, kind of a different atmosphere, not playing at Kinnick. Wisconsin does have a laundry list of some injured starters that are out. Most are questionable, so we'll keep an eye on that. Could help me make my decision. I make this game 13.5 in favor of Wisconsin, and S&P Plus makes us 15.5. So what I've been waiting for all week is we've kind of been hanging around that 11.5 and 12. I'd like a push to a flat 11, and if we can get even lower than that, that would be great. But Wisconsin is a side that I'm looking at. Wisconsin's first in the nation in third down conversion percentage. They're also number one in defending rushing TDs, while Iowa is 113th. So there's some serious advantages that Wisconsin has that does not match up well with Iowa whatsoever. Wisconsin's very efficient on both sides of the ball, especially when they're in the green zone and the red zone. So I think it's going to be a rough day for Iowa.
Yeah, I don't see them scoring much. I would lean Wisconsin there, but I might actually look at the under even more. So we'll keep our eye out for any plays there. The next game that I have, the next two games that I have here are both in the SEC. So just to clear up the SEC, right now, Georgia's already in They already won the East. So they're in the SEC championship game. Now, they do still have motivation. If they win out, then, you know, they're going to probably go to the playoff, even if they lose to, you know, say, presumably Alabama. The interesting thing with Auburn, who hosts Georgia this week, is they still control their own destiny in getting to the SEC championship and actually surpassing Alabama, because they'll host Alabama. Now, Auburn has two losses, but if they win out, I think they get in the playoff, because that means they would have, they would beat Georgia twice and Alabama in three of their last four games. I mean, I don't see how you could leave the SEC champion out if they do that. So I think they still control their own destiny, but they're catching, I don't think we're going to see a three again, but 2.5-2 at home against Georgia. And there is actually a scenario for the next game we'll get into with Mississippi State, where Mississippi State could win the SEC. Then things get crazy. But let's. What are you seeing in this Georgia-Auburn game?
Yeah, so I'm putting my faith in Auburn. I grabbed him at 3 earlier today when it flashed up for a little while. That is gone now. Bookmakers got it at 2. So if you're looking at 2.5 and you're seeing some other books sit at 2, you may want to invest in the 2.5 or possibly buy up to 3 at 2 at that point. I would just buy the money line. So let's I've had some feedback on like some of these podcasts, and some people are like, when you get deep into the math and stuff, I don't understand where we're going. So that's actually kind of what made my decision in this game. So let's talk about I could say the motivation for Georgia isn't there. They don't need this game. It doesn't mean anything to them in their futures. Which all of that is true. They're still going to go to the SEC championship game. But what this game does is if they lose, they kind of burn their game against, you know, Georgia Tech and other, you know, whatever else they've got remaining, where they can just kind of not play anything and not care. Kentucky. So, but for Auburn, on the other hand, this game means everything. And you know, they've had this circle. They know that this is a big one that they have to have. So they're definitely the more desperate team. And I like desperate teams with good defenses. So I make the game a pick. S&P Plus makes the game a pick, so there is value in the current number of 2.5. 3, if you want to go and hit those hard limits of $250 at Bovada or Sportsbook. So the teams are really close in efficiency and explosiveness, which is saying something, because I'm talking about Georgia. They're amazing. Their numbers are really top-notch, and for Auburn to be really close to them and kind of even stuff out says a lot about Auburn too. But there is one place where Georgia can get hurt, and that's in their passing downs explosiveness. And specifically what I'm talking about is Jake Fromm's ability to make third and long and second and long and make something happen. He has not been able to do it, and Georgia ranks 79th in the country in passing downs ISO PPP. So what that means is Fromm is going to have to make plays when it's second and 8, third and 12, and he hasn't been able to do that yet. Auburn's passing downs defense in that situation, they're 6th in the nation. So not only is it tough enough for Fromm the entire season for him to kind of pull off these second and third and longs, Auburn's been fantastic, like one of the best defenses in the nation at shutting that down. So Auburn shutdown defense on second and third and long is a big angle for me this week and why I like Auburn. Their defensive line should be able to get into the backfield the entire night. Auburn's defensive line is 21st in adjusted sack rate. That's how often they get to the quarterback. They're 6th in adjusted line yards. That's how they control the line of scrimmage. We totally have to lean on Auburn's defense on this. Fromm's going to be tested. I hear some people say, I won't cap Georgia and Alabama based upon this game. I will cap Fromm and how I think he'll do against Alabama based upon how he does against Auburn's defensive line in this.
Yeah, I think all valid points. And the world deserves Auburn to win this game. It feels right too with the year we've had with Cass. But if Auburn wins this game, you know, they play a FCS school next week, and they play Louisiana Monroe and Alabama, which will probably be on Louisiana Monroe. And then Alabama, even if they lose to Mississippi State, which we'll get to that game, they play Mercer at home, probably on the Bears, by the way. So they're both, Auburn and Alabama will win next week. So if Auburn wins this game, that means the Iron Bowl on November 25th, the last game of the year, will decide the division. I mean, that's epic. We need that. So Auburn will, you know, control who goes to the SEC championship in that game. Now, if Mississippi State knocks off Alabama, then there's a chance Mississippi State can get in, but that's craziness. But let's get into that game. I agree with you. I'm going to be on Auburn. I'm waiting for the three. If not, I'll probably by the money line. I'm hoping maybe there's some public money that drives Georgia back up. I don't think we see it, but I'm waiting for now. The other game, we mentioned this in the first podcast that we're both on. We both hit at 14.5 when available. My thinking was that it's not going to pop back up. There's more risk of it not popping back up than it ever getting to 17, and that looks to be the case as of at least right now. Mississippi State catching 14 points. They lost this game 51-3 last year. You want to talk about motivation. I like Nick Fitzgerald to keep this within 2 touchdowns. Anything you want to point out in this matchup?
Yeah, I got some notes on this. I have the line at 13.5. S&P Plus has this line at 6. They wow. love Mississippi. They love Mississippi State. They have them ranked very high in the S&P index. Bama was actually outgained at LSU. LSU didn't really look too terrible. And covering the number, plenty of injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Alabama. Another linebacker hurt, and it's tough to knock on Alabama. It's tough to knock on their stats because they're so fantastic in so many areas, and they have major advantages on limiting Mississippi State's explosiveness. So we talked about Mississippi State last week about how poor their explosiveness was on both sides of the ball. About how they're just a very efficient offense. Nick Fitzgerald is able to move the chains, but in passing situations, he's not able to hit the deep ball. And that, you know, I think Mississippi State, they have a way to keep this close. And the one bad thing I could find for Alabama, which you look at their stats, they're top 30 in everything. But there is one way, there is one stat category where they are ranked 86th in the nation. And that is the power success rushing rates on third and fourth down. Now, what does that mean? What it means is Alabama on third and fourth down, fourth and fourth down, from a team needs a 0 to 2 yard gain for a first down or a touchdown. Alabama ranks 86th in the nation on defense. So if it's a short yardage situation, they've been giving it up, you know, more times than not, and it's not a strong point for them. And I think that goes back to what's been going on with the linebacker core. That is the one weakness that Alabama has. On the flip side, Mississippi State ranks in the top 10 in the nation in power success rate. So that is the one place that Mississippi State can hurt them. If they get down to 3rd and 2, 2nd and 3, Mississippi State's going to get the first down, and they're going to get it most of the time. So I do expect Mississippi State to be able to get short moves on the ground to challenge the Alabama defense. And I think 14 is – I've already taken 14.5. It's one of the first things I hit on Sunday, and I'll be back in this one pretty hard.
I love it as well, and I think that Stark Vegas is going to be on fire, and this game will be close. One possession.
So glad this game isn't 11 a.m. I'm so glad this game's at night.
Yeah, it's going to be that's going to be one of the must see games. I think Notre Dame Miami's also at night too, and then you have Georgia Auburn in the afternoon CBS spot. Yeah, just epic college football weekend. Make sure your liquor cabinets are full. Before we get into the rapid fire for the rest of the games, I forgot to ask you in the beginning your thoughts on, in our college football previews, where we preview every conference and team, I know we talked about this spot for your Hogs, who have stolen, mm-hmm. They've really committed theft their last 2 weeks in getting wins against Ole Miss and Coastal Carolina. I kind of like Arkansas at 17 here. They generally play LSU very close. Do you have any feel here?
They don't really have an identity. They don't
lie
know
to
what
me.
They
this,
are.
Wait, this is our lie to me segment. Yeah. So tell me who you're not going to play, so we know who you'll play.
All right. So right now, you know, the defense is pointing fingers at each other. The coaching staff's pointing fingers at each other. Bielema won't name a quarterback. He won't say who he's going to play. But, you know, LSU's on a sleepy 11 a.m. game, so it's a good spot for Arkansas to come in and try to do something. I think I'm going to play LSU, though. So I might lie, but I think I'm taking LSU. I think
Arkansas, banger. Get in on your Hogs now. Try to get 17 and look for Colin to have a play on Arkansas at 11:55 a.m. Eastern on Saturday on the Sports Action app. All right, so let's go through the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we did do this podcast was cover, you know, just generally at least touch on the conference scenarios for the conference championship. So we covered the Big Ten, which looks like it's going to be Ohio State, Wisconsin, if Ohio State beats Michigan State this week. We touched on the SEC, which looks like it will be it will be Georgia versus probably the winner of Auburn, Alabama, if Auburn beats Georgia this week. If not, it's probably going to be Alabama, Georgia. And then in the Big 12, it's going to be the winner of Oklahoma, TCU versus someone, a piece of paper. And then for the Pac-12, you have USC, who's clinched because they have tiebreakers mm-hmm. over Arizona and Arizona State, which you mentioned in your futures piece, which if you haven't checked out, check that out. We added USC futures actually this week. They've clinched the South. The North is interesting because Washington's 5-1. They play Stanford this week. And then Washington plays, you know, Washington State and Stanford are both 5-2. So, you know, if Washington loses this game, they can still, I mean, it's a mess. But if Washington wins this game, they're not necessarily in, right? Because they could lose to Washington State next week.
They could, but at the same time, Washington State may not survive Utah this week, which I don't think they will. So, yeah, it's all a mess. Here's what I do know. Stanford wins this game. I believe Stanford and USC are playing for the Pac-12 championship.
Okay. And jumping ahead, we're going to make sure on first down we cover the weekday games that we didn't cover because we wanted to cut the first podcast short since Colin was in Lambeau. We only covered the Maction games, which went well.
Three winners.
And yeah. But just jumping ahead real quick to that, do you like Stanford plus six?
I do, but you're not going to see it come across on the app. I would play it at six. It's dropped down to 5.5. Get your six. I'm not playing it because before all of this sports action stuff happened and we got all of our previews going on, back in March, I took a five dimes Stanford to win the North at plus 380. So I'm heavily invested in this game from a plus 380 standpoint just on them winning. So, yeah, Stanford, take it.
I like Stanford, too. They lost this game 44-6 last year. You want to talk about motivation. So the and I think Stanford's going to be the more motivated team here than Washington. But let's go through. I think that's the did I cover all the major SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10? Oh, and then the ACC. It looks like it's going to be Clemson in the Atlantic unless something catastrophic happens versus Miami. So the winner of that will most likely, because I mean Clemson has Florida State this week. I assume they win that game. It's crazy that they're 16-point favorites. But then Citadel and then at South Carolina. So you would assume that even if Miami loses to Notre Dame, they have Virginia at home and then Pitt to close out the year, that the winner of Miami Clemson goes to the college football playoff. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I just am very interested when Miami gets this wrapped up about them going to play Pitt on Thanksgiving weekend where it's like 18 degrees and snowing and these Miami kids are sideline. That could be fun.
That could be an interesting spot. So that gives you a better idea of what's going on and an awesome year of college football, just chaos everywhere. But let's go through a top 25 rapid fire just to cross off the games that we haven't covered already. I'll do two at a time. You tell me which two sides you like, if any. And if you want to add a tidbit, you can. Here's two large favorites in the top 25. Rutgers at Penn State minus 31, and UConn at UCF minus 38. Leans on both of those?
Penn State, they've won 67-3 the last 2 years. Not taking UConn. There's no sheriffs, so no way.
UConn, by the way, covered last weekend's USF because USF fumbled into the end zone in the final minute for a touchback. Of course, because I didn't play UConn. Florida State at Clemson. I just mentioned that Clemson's laying 16. Any side here you lean on?
I got Clemson. I'm taking Clemson minus 16. I have this game at 20. I have no fear about it.
Wazoo at Utah. You think Utah wins plus one?
Utah plus 1.5 at home. Wazoo on the road's been terrible. I got Utah minus 2. So yeah, Utah.
Vatech minus 3 at Georgia Tech.
I think Vatech is going to be on a massive hangover and this is Georgia Tech's spot.
USC at Colorado. Colorado laying 13.5. Catching 13.5.
Yeah, I've got this game at 10. S&P Plus is at 8, so I'm not going to back the Trojans. I do expect them to win.
And the last one, which Oregon State at Arizona was minus. Arizona's not in the top 25 anymore. They're on the fringe. Arizona minus 2.5, and then Kansas State minus 2.5. Do they get a win for us for West Virginia? Do you have any feeling on those two?
Yeah, the Arizona number's high, but I can't bet back Oregon State. I think maybe the new coach thing is kind of worn off a little bit, and I've got no feel in the last game.
Go K-State. Yeah, I should have said Arizona minus 22, not 2.5. All right, great. So let's get into the final segment, which is three and out. On first down, we will cover the weekday games that we didn't already cover. So we went through the action already. We touched on Washington, Stanford. On Thursday, we have UNC at Pitt. Pitt's laying 9 in this game. Pitt lost last year to UNC with 1 second left. Mitch Trubisky actually scored a touchdown. He threw for a touchdown with 1 second left to beat Pitt 37-36. I mean, this game's disgusting. Do you see anything here?
Yeah, the number is way too high. It's 5 points too high in my book. UNC's won this game 4 years straight. It's heels or nothing for me here. I want to mention this right here. This falls into a category where I keep track of, which is bowl motivation versus no bowl motivation. And what this means is teams that are sitting on 4 and 5 wins versus teams that have 7 or 8 losses right now. So I'm going to rattle them off really fast if you think it's an important capping angle, because I do. Pitt, UNLV, Texas Tech, Indiana, Middle Tennessee State, Southern Miss, Georgia State, Tulane, and that's it for this week. Texas.
Yep. Yeah, and Pitt in this game is the team, obviously, with bowl motivation. They're sitting at 4-5 versus 1-8 North Carolina. The line does seem too high to me, but nothing that I'm in a rush to get involved with. The other game on Thursday, we have Georgia Southern at App State. App State finally got bit for not showing up in the first half again in conference. It happened with UMass as well. App State laying 17.5 here. Do you get a full focused App State team here?
The decline each week, struggled to beat Idaho, struggled to beat Coastal, lost to UMass, lost to ULM. Georgia Southern, on the other hand, lost by the closing number of 4 against Georgia State last week. And they had a chance to win that game, and they just I know everybody on the staff right now, since the firing of Tyson Summers, I know everybody on that staff is like 21 years old, and they're all graduate assistants. But I mean, it's hard to lay money on either of these teams.
Agree. Thursday's gross. Friday we have, here's a spot I love. I want 3 with Cincy. Cincy has 21-point revenge from a game last year they lost to Temple. They're catching 2.5 at home versus Temple on Friday night. Temple just is coming off that big win against Navy. They have UCF on deck, Sandwich City. You like Cincy?
I do. Yeah, you got the great side here. Yeah, so I got it. I was able to get it at 3. I would suggest doing the same. This applies to Auburn, like I said, with Auburn. If it goes down to 2, if you're listening to this, it's down at 1.5. Just take the money line if you can get it. Major advantages for Cincinnati in the rush explosiveness. They're 15th in the nation to Temple defending the rush explosiveness, 115th, 100 spots lower. So for their defense. So I have the number at 1.5. S&P Plus is at 1. There's value in 2.5 and 3. So go grab Cincy.
And we covered Washington Stanford, which is on Friday night. The other game, two of your favorite teams, BYU at UNLV -4. I don't even know what to think of this game, but what do you see anything?
It falls into the bowl motivation with UNLV at 4-5, BYU at 2-8. But I don't think BYU lays down just because they're 2-8. Both teams have won 2 in a row. Armani Rogers is probable. He's probably going to play. I went and looked at these two teams' specialties. I can't get into this game at all. I'm not even going to watch this game, to be honest with you guys. So, no play for me.
Yeah, BYU hasn't won 2 in a row, by the way. They've won 2 on the season, including the first game against Portland
State. They've covered.
State.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Covering is a win. So,
that's true. That's true. You play to cover the game. Right. I'm just happy we don't have to hear about you talking about BYU bowl motivation anymore.
Hey, they play 13 games and they had 7 losses. It's there.
I know. It's over with now. I'm happy that it's done. I hate that team. Fuck Kansas, by the way. All right, so that will cover the weekday games. I think we both agree that our favorites of the week are Cincy, Stanford, and I believe that's it. Stay away from BYU, UNLV. For second down, give Colin a shot to either pimp out a game that you already mentioned or, you know, a side and or total that we didn't mention that's not in the top 25 or didn't make any of the other previous segments. Do you have anything that you want to mention here?
Yeah, I'm amazingly taking off my fanboy Boise uniform that I wore for only half this year. So they now, I think, have the inside track to hosting the Mountain West Conference Championship. They essentially would have to lose 2 games within the conference to give that up, and that's not going to happen because they hold the tiebreaker over Wyoming. Boise has zero wins. Zero losses in the conference. Wyoming has one, and Colorado State has two. So this game means nothing to the Boise Broncos. They're going down to play Colorado State. Meanwhile, the Rams are sitting at 6-4. They're trying to get off the schneid here after a couple bad losses to Air Force and Wyoming. Wyoming, which was in a blizzard, just beautiful to watch, though. So I don't think Boise has much interest in this game. Boise's won five straight in this. They've covered almost all of them except for one. So I think there's a ton of motivation on the Colorado State side of this game. I think Boise has zero and doesn't even want to make the trip. So Colorado State definitely going to be a big play for me.
By the way, your Wyoming boys, what have they covered, six straight since you got off there?
I'm still holding a 14-1 future on them, but that's dead in the water because they're not even going to play in the championship game.
I thought that was funny though. They've covered. I was on them against Iowa and Oregon, and then they've. And then I was like, I'm off this team. They look horrible. And then they played Gardner Webb in their other game. And then they've covered six straight now.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. So any total that you really like this week?
Well, I mentioned the Oklahoma State, Iowa State first half. And boy, I did so well with the Notre Dame rushing angle last week. I think Georgia and Auburn has a real shot at being a 9-6 type ball game. So I would definitely look under on there.
All right, you heard it here first. Auburn wins 48-45. All right, so let's get into the last segment of our Moneyline Underdog Parlay. We got to hit one of these soon. I think you carried the torch again last week. We can't get on the same page.
Yeah, it was Sparty.
Who did I have last week?
I don't know. I was happy about my Sparty.
Someone that probably got blown out. I don't know.
I'll tweet it out and remind you. Trust me.
I forget who I had. I don't think that they had a shot. But anyway, Colorado State is who you're rolling with. I think you told me that before. You're just going what you were saying.
Yeah, we're going to Colorado State plus 200. It's that time of year where you want to take motivated teams against non-motivated teams.
All right, and then against your discretion, I'm going SMU. I have to. I think that it's a coin flip game where each team can do whatever they want. Navy's going to be able to run however they want. SMU is going to be able to pass. So I think it's a coin flip game. So I'll take the plus 170. So we're going SMU and Cal State. That pays out about 7-1. Hopefully we can get one of these. Thanks for running through all of the games with me. And do you have any plans this weekend? Are you couching it?
Not drinking, sweating this out, hanging out with the family, reacquainting myself as a normal person.
Lies, more lies. You'll be drinking this weekend. All right. So thanks for running through again. And look out for the CW9 on Friday, the six pack on Saturday, Sunday morning coffee on Sunday, the futures piece after the release of the latest college football playoff rankings. And then we'll have two more episodes of the Gen and Juice next week. And here's a promise, it will be on iTunes next week. Got confirmation of that. Really excited there, but it's going to be an epic Saturday. Hopefully we can have another profitable weekend, and we'll catch y'all later. Cheers.
Peace out. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. I got me some sequins jeans. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this time.